probably one of the shortest sermon titles you will ever hear. And hopefully that will help you to remember it as well. And I can't guarantee it will be one of the shortest sermons, but I promise not to keep you a long time. Some years ago, when we were living in the UK, and one thing, if you get to know my wife, you'll find this out, that my wife loves to go shopping. And one of the great joys that she has is what we call bargain shopping. She loves sales. She loves to pick up these expensive items for real knockdown prices. And yeah, that's how she found me. Not really. Great value, see? And in the UK, we have this store called Next. Next. It's mainly a clothes store. They do a few home furnishings as well. And around about Christmas time, just after Christmas and before the new year, they have these amazing sales. They are amazing experiences. And they everything that they have in their store is knocked down like 80% off. Yeah? I can hear some of you young ladies, you women, kind of beginning to get itchy feet to get there. Well, I don't think Next is in South Korea. But anyhow, these sales are crazy. Let me tell you this. They open their doors at 5 a.m. Yeah? 5 a.m. in the morning. And by 5 a.m., you have got crowds of people lining to get in. And the doors open, and it's a mad bundle. It's dangerous. It really is dangerous. You need to go prepared. You need to have a good workout before you go, and you need to be strong. And it's just mayhem, kind of organized chaos. And they give you these huge bags at the door, and people just pull things off the hangers and ram it in the bag, and you can't try it on because all the changing rooms are closed, and then you have to stand in line to get to the checkout. So my job is to arrive a little bit later. Yeah, I arrive about 7:30. So Joe and whoever has gone with her have kind of 2 hours into this epic adventure. And I get the bags that have been filled, and my job is to stand in line, ready to get to the checkout. And my record, guys, you're going to be proud of me with this. My record for standing in line is not 1 hour, is not 2 hours, is not 3 hours, 3 hours and 40 minutes. Yes. That's a good lesson for some of you husbands. Come on, girls. Amen. But that's not the stand that I want us to talk about today. Some of you guys are saying, praise God. And then, of course, you know that one of my favorite sport of all time is rugby. And when I started to play rugby, I'm not the biggest guy on the field, okay? You can see that right now. There's some of you guys are twice my size. But I loved the sport. And when I started to play, I can remember this time when I stood right in the center of the pitch. And I wasn't really sure what to do. I was kind of a novice. And someone had thrown me the ball. And I'm holding the ball. And I know I've got to run that way. But there was a big problem. There was a big guy there. He was about 6'6", about 2 meters tall. And he probably weighed about 250, 270 pounds. And whilst I stood, he was running. Guess which way? My way. And he hit me. And I landed flat on the ground. And I hurt. And I bled a lot. Guys, that's not the stand that I'm talking about. By the way, I learnt how to play rugby. And I learnt how to move out of the way. And I was able to use my speed. and he didn't flatten me every time. But I want to talk about standing today in the context of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18, which we'll read together in just a moment. The type of standing that I want us to consider today is the standing in the face of adversity, when things in our lives challenge us. Let's read those verses together from Ephesians 6. Paul says here, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand." Now, this is what we're standing against. Against the devil's schemes. How many of you know that the devil is real? Well, for the rest of you, let me tell you, the devil is real. And some of those experiences that you don't enjoy in your life are his doing. Some of those times when circumstances have hit your life and you were like me in the middle of that rugby pitch, flat, squashed, hurting and perhaps bleeding, some of that was the devil. And we need to know how to stand against the devil's schemes. He is a schemer. He's a strategist. He knows our weaknesses. And we don't want to be people that are always on the run from the devil. We don't want to be people that get flattened by his strategies, his schemes. We need to be people of God that know how to stand and stand firm. That's what we're going to learn today. Here's a scripture here. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." 6'6" rugby players. Our struggle is not against people. We talked about this a few weeks ago. "But against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." We often say that we don't want to make a lot about Satan and the forces of evil. And that's true, because we believe that he is a defeated foe. But at the same time, we need to be mindful of his strategies. And if you are a Christian today, you need to know that you have an enemy. And it's not your wife or your husband or your children or your boss. It's the devil and his forces of evil. "Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes," guess what? We're in an evil day. We're surrounded by evil. It's on every hand. And many of us struggle against the temptations of evil. Many of us feel the evil of this world beating at our lives, sometimes every day. And so we need to put on the full armor of God, because this is an evil day. I've lost my place. "You may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, stand." This is God's will for us. He goes on, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth." And then he goes on to demonstrate and explain what the armor of God looks like. Now, I have heard lots of people talk about God's armor, the armor of God from Ephesians 6. And what I want to move away from today is what that might look like in your imagination. Some people say that every time when we get up in the morning, we should imagine that we're putting on this armor of God, this belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. And I would like us to move away from what that might look like, how our imagination might picture that. What I want us to focus on today are these seven elements of equipment that God tells us we must put on. Seven aspects, seven details of this armor of God that we should be equipped with as the children of God, as Christians, as believers in this day and this time that we live in right now. I want you to notice this. Number one, it is the armor of God. Now, if you were a knight with a K at the front, not an N. If you were a knight and you were looking for a set of armor, would you agree with me that you would go and try and find the very best that you could afford? Yeah? You maybe wouldn't want to go to the second-hand armor shop. Because there you might find armor that's got dents in it that hurt where it presses in. Maybe a few holes in. Maybe some of the... Battery's gone. Can we try this one again? Testing. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2. Otherwise, I'm going to do an awful lot of shouting. Is that working? Yeah? A little bit? A little bit more volume on this one? There we go. Here we go. You don't want to buy armor that is substandard. You want something that's going to protect you. The armor that the Bible says we have and that we should put on is God's armor. Not my armor. Not the Apostle Paul's armor. God's armor. It is the best. You can't get better. The Bible says we should put the full armor of God on. Some people say, oh, I'm a faith man. Great. But there's a whole lot more armor than just faith. Some people say that I'm an evangelist, so I have really good shoes that spread the gospel of peace. Amen. We need evangelists. But the Bible says we need to put the full armor on. I would not want to go out to face this huge opposition as a knight and only have one or two pieces of armor on. I would want to know that it's all on. Do you agree with me? God's armor, full armor. So we're going to look at every aspect of this armor quickly today. The first thing that we notice that Paul says that we need to equip ourselves with is truth. The Bible says, in fact, Jesus said in John chapter 8, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. One of the reasons why Christians get destroyed by the devil so quickly is because they do not know the truth. How many of you understand that the devil is a liar? Let me see your hands. Good. The Bible says more than that, actually. Thank you, Nate. The Bible says that he is the father of all lies. And sometimes the devil comes and stands beside you and he wants to lie to you. And he goes, boo. He speaks to us a lie. And because we don't know the truth, we're like little girls and we scream, ah! We get scared and we run from what the devil is telling us. The Bible says there's a place where you can stand. And you don't need to be frightened about the lies because they are empty lies. Isn't it true that they seem so plausible? You get some kind of symptom of a sickness in your body and the devil comes and says to you, you've got cancer. And you scream inwardly. And fear fills your heart. And you convince yourself that this symptom is the first step of an incurable disease. My friend, that's when you need to know what the truth of God's word is. You need to know what God says. You need to be able to stand in truth. The devil comes to you because you and your wife, your husband, you have a fallout. And the devil says to you, your marriage is over. You need to be able to stand on truth. God wants to tell you what the truth is concerning every aspect of your life. And he is so faithful that he has filled this entire book with truth. And we need to know what the truth is. We need to be able to stand upon what God has said when the enemy comes and tries to lie at us. And we don't need to run. My friend, we don't need to even enter into combat with the devil. There's been a lot of talk, a lot of teach about spiritual warfare, where we enter into combat with the forces of evil. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says stand with the full armor of God on. We don't need to engage in warfare with the forces of evil, and I'll tell you why. Because Jesus has already beat them. And that was a good place to say amen. Amen. He has already conquered them. For us. Do you know that truth? Or does the devil chase you around Does he scare you? Does he intimidate you with the lies that he so easily can sow into our hearts? The second thing that we need to equip ourselves with is righteousness. The Bible says in Philippians 1 that we need to be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. We, as the children of God, we can stand before the God Almighty as those that have been made righteous through what Jesus Christ has done and is still doing. Righteousness, that right standing before God, cleansed, sanctified, made whole, brought into the family of God as his children. How many times have we been contested by Satan? And we even get to a place where we question if we're right before God. Sometimes we mess up real bad. Sometimes we make a terrible mistake. We make wrong decisions. And that question comes into our mind. Am I still in right standing before God? And the devil loves it when we start to think like that. You know, the righteousness that has been made available to us through Jesus Christ supersedes any sin that we may commit. The Bible says that that veil that separated man from God has been torn so that we can come boldly to that throne of grace. Not when we feel so holy, not when we've just done a 10-day fast, not when we've just prayed for 3 hours. The Bible says we can come to that throne of grace in a time of need. A time of need is maybe when you've made a great mistake. That's when you need God's grace most. And then we can stand as the righteous before God through what Jesus Christ has done. The third thing that we're told to equip ourselves with is the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. What does that mean? How do we equip ourselves with that? I believe that Alex and Grace gave us a little insight into this morning. They said that they have been in one of the busiest times of their lives. What did they do? They made a choice that they were going to step out and obey God and be preachers of the gospel. You know, we are going to be busy in conversation with something. The Bible says and warns us against being busy in conversation in things like gossip and backbiting, finding fault, being critical. That's not the gospel of peace. And when we clothe ourselves in gossip and in backbiting and in critical conversations, we actually make ourselves very vulnerable to the work of Satan. But when we busy ourselves and we clothe ourselves in the gospel of peace, when we use our abilities to share the love and the power of God, we clothe ourselves in something that protects us. God joins himself to us as we open our mouths and he gives us the words to say. I wonder what gospel we preach. It's in those quiet times, those closet moments. Do we find ourselves complaining? Do we find ourselves moaning? Do we find ourselves being critical even of God? I would want to suggest this morning. Let us be found busy with the gospel of peace, the good news. It clothes us. It protects us. Our next thing is faith. The Bible says this, for it is by grace that we have been saved through faith. And that is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It is by faith that we are saved. Faith in what Jesus Christ has made available to us. Faith in the fact that Jesus Christ died, was buried, was raised from the dead, and ever lives to make intercession for us. But faith does not stop at that moment of salvation. That faith that we exercise is the beginning. The Bible says that those who are just, those who have been redeemed, live by faith. We live by faith. It is the culture that we develop in our lives by faith. And we need to clothe ourselves and equip ourselves with faith. And some of us sometimes we say, but I feel so doubting, so questioning. I don't feel that I have any faith in me. The faith that we used to believe in Jesus when we were born again was a gift that God gave to us. God will give us faith if we will ask for it. God will enable us to be clothed with faith. When those questions, when those doubts come knocking at our door, when unbelief prowls and seeks to devour us, we can say to the Lord, Lord, right now, I need faith. When questions as to what God has said seem to saturate our minds, that's when we need to fall on our knees and say, God, right now, fill me with your faith. Give me faith to believe that what you have said is true. You know, when circumstances of life seem to contest and they seem to contradict what we believe God has said, that's when we need to have faith, and God will give it to us. God will give us the gift of faith. Are you catching this morning? We're learning how to stand. You say, well, Pastor John, do I need to clothe myself in all of these things? All of these things. All of these things. God makes them available to us. The next thing is salvation. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we ignore, another translation says, neglect so great salvation. The salvation that we have through belief in Jesus Christ is greater than any of us can imagine. It certainly begins when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but it is just the beginning. And we need to equip ourselves as we discover and learn more and more of the salvation that God has given to us already, where we can not only be saved from hell and be made ready for heaven, we are saved from our sin. We are made right before God. We are saved from our sinful nature. We are saved not just from things, but we're saved to things. The salvation that God has given to us, bless you, thank you, is not only to save us from certain things, but to save us to things. The Bible says that we are his workmanship and that we have been created for good works. How many of us are busy with the, don't put your hand up, how many of us are busy with the works that God has created us for? When we are distracted, when we are busy and we equip ourselves, we clothe ourselves with, if you like, an armor of this world, maybe with an armor of our preference, then we find that we're very vulnerable to what Satan wants to inflict upon our lives. You know, I believe that we're living in a day right now where we need to live by our convictions and not by our preferences. Did you hear what I say? We need to be people that live by the convictions that we have concerning God and not by my preferences. Not by what I want to do, what it feels comfortable for me right now. I remember when God spoke to me so forcefully about forgiveness. I didn't feel like it. Anybody ever feel like forgiving? I didn't feel like forgiving. It felt like the most inopportune moment. I was hoping that God would say, vengeance is mine. And that God would mete out some vengeance on people that I thought had hurt me. But God said, forgiveness. And I chose to live by my convictions, not my preferences. I wanted to experience more of God's salvation. Let us be people that are ever searching for the fullness of the salvation that God has given to us. The Word of God is our next item. The Word of God. As for God, the Bible says in Psalm 18, His way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. His word is flawless. I believe that as Christians, God's word should form our staple diet. I'm all for nutrition, naturally speaking. You can see that I'm a fine figure of the human species, and I take my dietary details very seriously. Not. Seriously, it is good to take care of these bodies. You've only got one, so take care of it. Amen? Amen. But we should, even more than that, feed our spirits on the Word of God. You know, it's so sad sometimes when you communicate with Christians and their hearts are full of information, of facts, of statistics, of things pertaining to this world. And you have to dig so deep to find anything of the Word of God. I believe that as we wear the full armor of God, God's Word will be at the top. God's Word will be foremost. God's Word will be something that we live by. The Word of God says of itself, it is flawless. Your opinions are sometimes flawed. My ideas are sometimes flawed. The world's intentions are sometimes flawed. The Bible says the Word of God is flawless. It is perfect. It is something that we need to clothe ourselves with. Finally, prayer. The Bible says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Prayer. You know, I think this is one of those items that perhaps gets forgotten. We love truth and righteousness, salvation, the gospel of peace, and all of the other things, the Word of God. We can appreciate those, but sometimes prayer seems just like, oh, Pastor, it's too much hard work. We had our praise and prayer night at Mosaic last night. We had an awesome time. And I shared these thoughts. You know, we pray all the time. The Bible says pray without ceasing. And whether you know it or not, you pray just about all the time. How many of you have a mobile phone, a cell phone? Let me see your hands. How many of you use it for texting? Let me see your hands. Yeah, you pray all the time. How many of you use it to make phone calls? Yeah, you pray all the time. How many of you have got a Facebook account? Okay, it's not a sin, so you can admit to it. I have one now. I finally caught up with modern technology. Some of us pray all the time on Facebook. Problem is, we're praying to the wrong people. I have a friend or somebody that I know in the UK. He asked if he could be my Facebook friend. So I said, of course you can. My goodness, he lives on Facebook. You know, your news page is full of him. Every time I go in there, I have to click on him and cancel it. Click on him and cancel it. He prays all the time. He sits in conferences on his mobile, his Android, and he's praying on Facebook. You see, it's not difficult to pray and to pray to the Lord. Paul says, pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. Involve God in everything. Clothe yourself. Put the armor on. Let part of that armor be prayer. You don't have to always lock yourself away in a closet and pray for 3 hours nonstop. You can be sitting on the bus. You can be sitting on the subway. You can be walking around E-Mart. And guess what? You can pray in E-Mart. You can be standing in a line, a checkout line for 3 hours, 40 minutes. And you can pray. You can do lots of things. You can talk and witness to people. I tell you, I had an amazing time. It felt like 40 minutes, not 3 hours, 40 minutes. The number of people that I was able to get into conversation with. Oh, what is your work? Oh, I work in a church. Do you really? And there's your opening to share Jesus. In the same way, we can pray. We can involve God in every aspect of our lives. You know, sometimes something goes against what we wanted to in our lives. I tell you, I'm new to Facebook and I'm not going to spy on people, but you can learn an awful lot about what's going on in people's lives. You just read their statement, yeah? And I think to myself, it's good that they feel able to share that, but I hope they're also sharing it with God. You know, I've had the worst day of my life. My girlfriend's just dumped me. I'm not quoting, I'm just making these up, of course. My boss has been so mean to me. Yeah. I just pray that we're taking those things to God. We're equipping ourselves with prayer. It's part of the armor that God has given to us. As we close now, I want us to learn this very important point. All of these are given to us by God through Jesus Christ. The truth, the righteousness, the gospel of peace, the word of God. God has already given them to us. Can we conclude from that if God has made them available, and if in our salvation God has given them to us, can we deduce from that God expects us to use it? Is that just not a reasonable conclusion to come to? That these are not optional extras, that God says, now you're saved, he's filling in a form, now you're saved, would you like truth? Tick here. Would you like righteousness? Tick here. Would you like the gospel of peace? Tick here. No, no, no. When we're saved, God gives these things to us for us to equip ourselves with. Why? Because we live in an evil day. And if you don't know that, you're either brain dead or physically dead. We live in an evil day. Why do we need to clothe ourselves with the armor of God? Because there's a devil out there who has got some evil schemes. Guess what? He doesn't like you. In fact, he hates you so much that if he could, he would love to take you to hell with him. That's the reality of it, my friends. And he's not lazy. He is working overtime. He's working overtime. He knows what his future is, and his future is hell. Hell was made for him. It wasn't made for you or I. That's why it's going to be so terrible. And even as Christians, Satan doesn't leave us alone. The Bible says he's going around like a lion, roaring. He's seeking whom he might devour. And we need to be people that take this armor of God and equip ourselves with it. We clothe ourselves with it. Why? So we can stand. So we can stand. You know that 6'6" rugby player, when I first started playing rugby, he intimidated me. I was scared so much my socks almost fell down. And I wanted to run. I could outrun him. But I ran the wrong way. I ran towards my own score line. But you know, as I began to be equipped by my rugby master, I began to realize that the bigger they are, the harder they fall. I learnt how and where to tackle this giant. I learnt where I could hurt him. I learnt where I could tackle him. I learnt how to stand and not be intimidated. Just because he's big and weighed about 3 times as much as I did, I didn't need to be scared of him. And sometimes the devil can seem so big and so intimidating, and his lies can seem so plausible. But God says, put the armor of God on, and you can stand firm. You don't have to run from him. You don't have to scream in terror. You can stand firm. You don't even have to engage in warfare with him. Because when he sees you standing in truth and righteousness, and your feet with the gospel of peace on, and you're armed with the word of God, and his salvation surges through your body and you're a praying child of God, there is nothing he can do to inflict any hurt upon you. And that was another good time to shout amen. Amen. Would you stand together with me, please? Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. Father, I thank you that you have provided us with this armor. You have made it available to us. It is custom made for us. It is designed to fit us. I pray, Lord God, that we would take these words from the Bible and that we would meditate upon them, but that also we would be effectual doers of your word. I pray that you would equip us with the faith to believe it, the courage to do it, that we may live in the fruit of the truth of what you speak to us. Father, I thank you that through Jesus Christ and through him alone, we can and we do have the victory. Through Jesus Christ and him alone, we can stand before you as those who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we in our lives can experience not just occasional good days, but we can live consistently in that place of victory. Father, I thank you that through Jesus Christ, we have no reason, no need to fear the enemy, because Jesus has defeated him and has made an open public spectacle of him. And today we stand and we live in the victory that he has made for us. We praise you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.